Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. I'm back. That's right. I am back for the year. Every Monday and Thursday this year, instead of Monday and Wednesday this year, we're doing Mondays and Thursdays. That kind of gets around my delegate schedule. We're actually going back into session. I know, you think we'd be done by now. We're going back into session next Wednesday and then the following Tuesday and Wednesday. But so far, we still have my Mondays and Thursdays free to do my radio show. As you know, if you are a longtime listener to The Inside Scoop, I go away for 3 months, January, February, and March, every single year to serve in the Virginia House of Delegates, where I've been duly elected, and I'm just pleased as punch to be back with you talking about all the issues that we have. One thing I want to focus on today is the threat from Russia. And it may not be what you think. It's not so much the nuclear threat that I'm concerned about. Obviously, that's always a perennial concern. That's what everybody talks about when it comes to Russia. I'm much more concerned that we're becoming like Russia, or that the right-wingers among us want us to become more like Russia. You know, it didn't used to be that way. It used to be that the right hated Russia. They hated the Soviet Union. In the time of the Soviet Union, it actually was one of the few things that right and left could agree on. The Cold War, Harry Truman. I mean, you have to go back really to the early days of communism. And you have to ask yourself, what was so wrong with communism? See, communism had two elements to it. One that was quite severe that, frankly, all Republicans and Democrats can and should oppose. And that was authoritarianism, tyranny. Lack of a free press, the gulags, show trials, putting people in prison, killing political enemies. That's basic tyranny, and it's something that every American should oppose at all times. Then there was this other element to communism that I would argue was largely not done, but this argument that it was a socialist dictatorship. I'm not quite so sure if that was ever true. It's certainly not true today. But that difference and the fact that Russia or the Soviet Union in those days was always trying to make America look bad led to some differences between the left and right in how they thought about Russia. After all, in the time of the 20s and the 30s, when we had Jim Crow laws and even more, far more severe racial inequality than we have today, there would be, not because the Soviet Union wasn't racist, it was a very racist place, but they would allow American blacks to say and do certain things, mostly just to poke their eye, poke America's eye out, and they would use our racial tensions to attack us. And so there were some on the left that I think in a very nostalgic way, in a very, frankly, non-understanding of what the real Soviet Union was about, there were some on the far left that said they were communists, not because they loved the Soviet Union so much, but because they were disenchanted with capitalism or disenchanted with racism or misogyny or other things going on in the United States. And you know that many Americans who supported labor, for example, might have said they were a communist in the teens, 20s, 30s, back before we understood that the Soviet brand of communism was basically using socialism as an excuse to be a tyrant. But once Stalin made clear who he was, we joined with him against Hitler, but particularly in the 40s, as the massacres and the show trials and the gulags became clear, that was one thing that left and right could agree on. We both hated the Soviet Union. We both feared the Soviet Union. And the question is why? I think those of us on the left dislike the Soviet Union because exactly it was taking away freedom. And on the right, well, I thought that was the same reason. I thought that was their same problem. But it may be that some on the right didn't oppose the Soviet Union because it was a brutal dictatorship that took away our free press, but more because, well, because of its putative socialism. Because the Soviet Union at least was claiming to give everyone a fair shake. Maybe it was fairness that conservatives opposed all along. Now, that's a pretty strong thing to say, so I want to figure out, you know, why I'm saying that. After all, Ronald Reagan famously said to Mikhail Gorbachev, "Tear down this wall." And it seemed clear that things like, oh, free immigration, allowing people to leave countries where they're being oppressed, that was something that America strongly supported. The idea of a free press, the idea that you could go anywhere in America and say anything you wanted and open up your own printing press and say what you wished, that was seen as a quintessential American value. That was why we opposed the Soviet Union, right? It wasn't because of labor standards. But then as we come to the present day and we see a president of the United States who's very much enamored by Vladimir Putin, and the love affair is mutual, we have to ask ourselves why. Now the easy answer is, well, Donald Trump is obviously being blackmailed by the Russians. And by the way, I think that's probably true. I think all the evidence points in that direction. I think that's what Mueller is finding out. It could be a hard blackmail or a soft blackmail. It doesn't have to be necessarily quid pro quo. But remember, Donald Trump is very much a failed businessman. This is a guy who cheated so many people so many times that he couldn't get anyone to lend him his money except the Russians. And he has failed family members too, right? Jared Kushner famously bought an expensive building at a very high price in Midtown Manhattan and can't offload it. And so all the Russian connections, whether because the Russians know that he did something sordid in a Moscow hotel, which knowing Donald Trump is probably true, or because they have him by the financial grip, that may very well be why Donald Trump is kowtowing to Vladimir Putin. For me, the more interesting question than why this, you know, Trump, who is always looking out for himself, is helping Vladimir Putin, never says a negative word about him. That's actually less interesting to me than why conservatives seem to have no problem with it. I mean, William F. Buckley is someone I disagree with most of the time, right? He's the patron saint of conservatives. Very intellectual. Nice to remember a time when the patron saint of conservatives was an intellectual, someone who struggled with ideas. But one thing William F. Buckley and I strongly agreed on is we opposed tyranny. We oppose the authoritarianism of the Soviet Union. Whatever you felt of the model for trying to make people more equal, we both agreed that you can't have a gulag, you can't have a show trial, that you must have a free press, that people have the right to form political parties, that people have the right to band together and support a cause. If anything, that's what democracy is about. That's the heart of what's in our Constitution, right? Our First Amendment. What is that? Freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, freedom to petition your government to redress wrongs. And these are the things that are being eroded. These are the things that concern me most when I see a company like Sinclair Broadcasting, a right-wing propaganda outfit, trying to buy up all our local news. They own 40% of it. They're seeking to own 70% of it. And the worst part about it is they don't tell you who they are. Deadspin had a very powerful, you can go to deadspin.com and watch a very powerful video of 36 local stations, all intoning the same pro-Trump mantra. Now that's scary. It wouldn't be as scary if 36 local stations independently came to the conclusion they were going to support the president. That wouldn't scare me at all. But what scares me is they were told to say the same words, much like a hostage would, or much like current Russia TV does, or Korean, North Korean TV, or you name your dictator, Venezuelan TV, Iraqi TV, not Iraqi, under Saddam Hussein, Iranian TV. I don't care whether you pick a right-wing dictatorship or left-wing dictatorship. The one thing all the dictatorships have in common, Saudi TV, is they don't have a free press. The press must support the government. And when you have 36 local anchors all speaking together, and we'll play the audio, but this is actually something you have to see because the visual is very powerful. I mean, your local news, that's the friendly time, right? That's Channel 2, Channel 5, Channel 7, Channel 9. That's the weatherman. That's the local sports guy. He's talking about your local sports team and how it did, right? The weather woman, she's talking about the weather in your hometown. The news anchors, right? They're talking about what's going on in your area, the news. That these people can be bought, that their principles can be sold for a price, and that you wouldn't know about it. That's a really scary thing. Actually, the scariest thing of all is that you wouldn't know about it. When you turn on Fox News, when you turn on Sean Hannity, you know that he is going to be a toady for the right. You know that he has no independent values. You know that he flip-flops all the time. He has no principles whatsoever except defend the right, whatever that right wing is. Defend Donald Trump, no matter what he does. But you know it's propaganda. But the scariest propaganda is when you don't. Frankly, what's happening with Sinclair Broadcasting is scarier than Russia or Soviet propaganda because they don't tell you who they are. When you turn on RT Russia Today, you know this is the organ of the Russian government. This is Vladimir Putin telling people exactly what to say. In fact, my last time on RT, I told them exactly that, that they were puppets of Vladimir Putin, that he was telling them what to say, that they censored a free press, and I started citing all the free press that Russia censors. I knew it would be my last time on the air. I wanted to go out with a bang. But with Sinclair, most people don't even realize that local Channel 7, or actually in D.C., folks, it's local Channel 8. Local Channel 8, which used to be owned by ABC, is now owned by this right-wing propaganda outfit. I used to appear on Channel 8. I used to debate Republicans on Channel 8. I guess I was good because Sinclair made sure that I could not come back. That's what they do. And now you have this relationship between government and press that's very much like Russia, very much like the old Soviet relationship. It's quid pro quo. We just found out that Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, made a deal with Sinclair in the campaign. As long as they didn't question Trump, as long as they didn't give him tough questions, well, they could go and they give him lots of access. Trump would give Sinclair Broadcasting lots of access. And the Sinclair Broadcasting stations, they wouldn't ask him any tough questions. This is a president who has not had a single press conference since the first month after he took office. No president in the modern day has ever been that inaccessible to the free press. And the real question I have is the threat from Russia to take down our free press between right-wing radio and right-wing local TV and Trump channels all across America? How do we resist? Is it only by marching in the streets? Is that the only freedoms we have left? Give me a call. Let's talk about it. 888-653-7543, 888-488-MARK. And we'll be right back right after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, talking about the threat from Russia. The threat from the Russian United States may not be what you think. It's funny that for years, the right would condemn the Soviet Union, and I thought that the reason was because it didn't have freedom, because it didn't have a free press, because people weren't allowed to speak out, to have fair elections. But now it seems the right doesn't care about a free press. They don't care about free elections. So what were they opposed to all along? Right now we have a president who is attacking the press more than I think any president has. Now don't get me wrong, a lot of presidents don't like the press. Nobody likes bad coverage. The president has a bully pulpit. They have a right to complain about coverage. But to claim that the media is lying, you know, when you claim someone's lying, you need to be able to back up the truth. If the media, it happens, if a story is written about me that's false, I've written to that media group and said, hey, you said something about me that's wrong. Please correct it. Here's the facts. Here's the evidence behind the facts. This happened to me just recently, actually. I was John Batchelor, a show host on WAMU. I forget what station. Maybe a different station. Sorry. But he's a somewhat prominent conservative talk show host. Said some things about me that were false, that he'd heard from some Republicans that were trying to cause mischief. And I wrote him back and I said, hey, you slandered me. Now, I don't think he intentionally did it, but I let him know that he said something wrong about me. He allowed me on the air, and I corrected the record. But you can't claim something's false without giving the truth. You can't just say blatantly, don't trust anyone but the president's own sources, whether those sources are Fox News or Sinclair or whatever toady propaganda artist he has. That is what Vladimir Putin does. That is what dictators all around the globe do, and it's really dangerous. When 36 local stations all intone together what Big Brother Sinclair told them to say, that's ominous. Because, mostly because you don't realize they're doing it, right? You're watching Channel 7 in Buffalo, New York, and someone else is watching Channel 9 in Des Moines, Iowa, and someone else is watching Channel 2 in Los Angeles, and none of them realize that these are not the beliefs of the anchors themselves. This is put out by the owner, and the journalists, like hostages, are forced to read what they're told to say. And that's not what journalism is. One of the reasons I like being on talk radio is nobody tells me what to say, right? The only things that keep me back are truth, because, yeah, I can be accused of slander if I get a fact wrong. Yeah, that's a protection. But other than truth, I can say pretty much whatever I damn well please. I can say what comes to my mind. And that's what's always, dare I say, kept America great, was our freedom to criticize, our freedom to speak out, our freedom to have independent news sources. And that's the real trouble with a government-controlled news, which is what Russia has and what, well, Donald Trump wants us to have. We'll be right back right after this.
Back to the Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, talking about the real threat from Russia. And I don't think it's nuclear weapons. Part of it is, yes, Vladimir Putin is almost certainly blackmailing our president, threatening him either financially or because of embarrassing things that Donald Trump has done. And Robert Mueller's getting to the bottom of that. And I'm really glad he is. And frankly, the investigation has been as professional as it could be, as you might expect. The former director of the FBI knows all the resources of the government that he can use. He is the perfect man for the investigation. He's a Republican. He's tough on law. And it's really hard to find any bias there, although Donald Trump certainly is trying. But I would argue the real threat from Russia is deeper than that. It goes to our media. We need to remember how it is that Russia hacked our elections. They tried to hack the election machinery. It's important to know that. One of the things that I've worked on in Virginia is to bring us paper records. Frankly, that's increased in most states. There's still some states that don't have them. If your state doesn't have a voter verified paper record when you vote, you need to work. Call your local state legislator. Get that done. I know Pennsylvania still doesn't have them. There's a bunch of states that don't. But most of the states do. And a voter verified paper record means you can't hack into the machines. Most machines are connected to the internet, but the fear is that someone will still get in and go on an update or something and hack into the machines. So Russia tried to hack into our machines, didn't really succeed there. The second thing they tried to do, and they had more success here, they got into I think 40 some odd states. I know they tried to get into Virginia's, they didn't. But they did succeed in getting to Illinois and I think one other state's voter records. That's a scary thing too. Even if they can't change the vote count, they can remove you from the voter rolls, make it really hard for you to vote. So they tried to go in through the front door to, well, maybe not the front door, but they tried to actually change the elections. After all, that's how Vladimir Putin does it, right? He makes sure that no real opponent opposes him. He stuffs the ballot boxes. He fixes the election machinery. He has a press controlled entirely by himself. He shuts down independent press. That's how dictators work. But when he couldn't hack our election machinery, he went around it. We all know now that using Cambridge Analytica, using some holes in the Facebook security, using people like Steve Bannon, he put together an army of robots, an army of people working out of Macedonia, Russian citizens, an army of Americans, some wittingly, some unwittingly, spreading Russian propaganda to help Donald Trump get elected. That's how he did it. He did it through social media. He used our freedom against us. And he found that Americans are all too willing to believe in, dare I say it, fake news. Indeed, that's where fake news came from, right? The whole idea of fake news is that propaganda, false propaganda, can be used to create a narrative. In fact, one of the reasons Donald Trump talks about fake news so much is because he is the purveyor of fake news. Donald Trump's very good at projection. If you accuse him of corruption, you accuse him of mistreating women, well, he'll go point the finger at someone else, like Bill Clinton, and somehow make it Hillary's fault. If you accuse him of corruption, he'll call someone else corrupt. And if you accuse him of fake news or lying, well, then he'll accuse everyone else of lying and fake news. But fake news is a real thing. I remember when the internet was young, when I was young, I would get emails. That's before really blogs, before a lot of people were on the internet, we got emails. And I would get an email. It was a chain email. And often sent by a friend or relative that said something I knew to be untrue. I remember vicious slanders against Al Gore. I remember one that claimed that Al Gore somehow didn't take heed a warning about Al-Qaeda. Kind of ironic, since it's true that President George Bush at the time didn't heed a warning about Al-Qaeda. And, of course, September 11th happened. But I knew it was false, and I would chide my relative or my friend and say, why are you passing this around? It's false. And then I'd send that person the truth. That's how websites like Snopes.com got started, because so many people were passing around rumors and fake news. And I remember I was kind of harsh with my friend or relative, and I said, hey, you know, it's really wrong to send this. It's anti-American. It's slander. You should never send something around that you either know to be false or you haven't checked to see whether it's false or true. And I remember some people were pushed back against my pushback and said, Mark, you know, I think you're taking this a little too seriously. And I said, no. And I got to the point where if someone sent me a mass email, they're just smarter about it today, but with 100 names on it saying something that's false, I would reply all to all 100 names and say, your friend has lied to you. Your friend is misstating the truth. Your friend is no friend at all. You should tell your friend never to do it again. I want all of you to go to your friend and say, this is disgusting. Don't do it. Again, pretty strong words. But I guess I think it was Mark Twain that said that a lie is heard around the world while the truth is just putting on its pants. It's easier to pass a lie. Lies are more sensational. This is what the Russians found out. And so when you have a company like Sinclair Broadcasting going behind the scenes and making people believe that this is independent journalists all saying the same thing, well, it really is a threat to our democracy. Mark, let's play the clip from Sinclair.
Hi, I'm Fox San Antonio's Jessica Headley.
And I'm Ryan Wolf.
Our greatest responsibility is to serve our Treasure Valley communities.
The El Paso, Las Cruces communities.
Eastern Iowa communities.
Mid-Michigan communities.
We are extremely proud of the quality, balanced journalism that CBS 4 News produces.
But we are concerned about trouble and trying to be responsible, one-sided news stories plaguing our country.
The sharing of biased and false news has become all too common on social media. More alarming, some media outlets publish these same fake stories without checking facts first.
The sharing of biased and false
news has become all too common on social media.
More alarming, some media outlets publish these same fake stories simply aren't true without checking facts first. Unfortunately, some members of the media use their platforms to push their own personal bias and agenda to control exactly what people think, and this is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
This is extremely dangerous to our democracy. Now, obviously, if you saw the videos, you could see all these local channels, each one of them saying the same thing. The irony is, well, I kind of agree with the message, right? I agree that we have to be wary about fake news. I agree that news sources often use news to push their agenda. And I agree that no one does it more than Sinclair Broadcasting. Projection is often used by someone who has committed some kind of bad act to take attention away from themselves. Now, all Sinclair had to do was say, this is a message from Sinclair Broadcasting. Sinclair Broadcasting owns your local channel and 70 other, actually 200 channels now across the nation. We own 40% of the news across the nation. This is a message from Sinclair Broadcasting that we have asked our news anchors to read. Boom. Now, that would have been fair. But to have these local news forced to say something that they didn't want to say on pain of losing their jobs, that's Orwellian. Although at least the people living under Big Brother, well, they realized the government was the one spreading the message. The people watching their local news had no idea. Thank you, Deadspin, for putting these clips together, for catching them at their own game. And I think if they don't stop doing it, we may have to start a boycott Sinclair. Because most people don't even know who they are. Most people don't even know that their local stations are controlled by this conglomerate. We may have to start boycotting Sinclair to make them sit up and take notice that we value independent journalism. We value independent voices. We value a free press, that we want our local news to be, our local people sharing their thoughts, sharing their opinions, sharing the facts that go on in our local community. Got Paul on line 3 in Woodinville, Washington, other side of the country. How are you, Paul?
Good, Mark. How you doing? Actually, Sinclair Broadcasting is responsible for coining two memes. They're the ones who coined the meme, the mainstream media, when they were a fledgling growing out of Baltimore, Maryland, out of Chesapeake Broadcasting, and they started buying individual television stations. And they would say, we're giving you news that the mainstream media doesn't bring you. And that's true, because the news that they brought you was crap. It was lies.
It was false news.
Right. So they
the mainstream media is hampered by facts, Paul.
Yes.
They aren't. So, you know, they can show you things outside the mainstream. The earth is flat. And Hillary Clinton somehow was involved in, I don't know, Benghazi.
Right. So they take, now that they're a mega media corporation, now they call the other mega media corporations the fake news. So, I mean, they're responsible for two of them. And what they do it's interesting their tactics. Like, are you familiar with the must-run Sinclair show called Full Measure with Cheryl Atkinson?
Tell me about it.
Okay. Cheryl Atkinson does these news reports, and she's an attractive woman who... Here's an example of what they'll do. They'll cover a factual thing and say, for instance, the non-standardization of costs in the healthcare system, like, a knee replacement in California costs this, but in Oklahoma City it costs that. Oh, outrageous.
That is outrageous.
And then they'll say, see what Obamacare has done to the healthcare system.
They won't point out that this was done for decades before, exactly, and that right. The Affordable Care Act actually made things a little better.
Right, some aberration, they'll point that out. And now they're picking on things like saying the post office retirements are like exec level pensions, and the taxpayer is subsidizing them. No, they're not. The
right.
Taxpayers never subsidized the post office. Or they'll say that. So here's another one you'll hear out of my local Sinclair buddy Michael Medved will say, because he's through Sinclair, has been saying that Social Security doesn't pay for itself, because most people get more out of Social Security than they ever put in. He's neglecting, because he never took any math, that the math of social insurance theory makes that possible.
Well, yeah, because the younger generation pays for the older generation. That's how it's been ever since the 1930s. But no, you're absolutely right. And what makes these things really scary to me is the hidden bias. If Michael Medved wants to say something, Michael Medved has the right to say it. He's a right-wing commentator. Most people know that. They take it with a grain of salt. For me, the problem is these local hosts who are, you know, as you say, often attractive and young and of the community and not known as right-wing ideologues. And when they say it, it has much more of a ring of truth. That's why I think the heart of the way to stop Sinclair and people like them is transparency.
Right.
For example, if the Democrats were to take back Congress, they could require any message that's not decided on by the person themselves to write, this message is being required to be read by Sinclair Broadcasting. The host, this message does not necessarily reflect the views of the person saying it at all. They are being required to read this by their boss. Now, that would be an amazing deterrent. Just that little disclaimer would be an amazing deterrent. We would know when we watch CNN or read the New York Times or read the Washington Post or MSNBC that we know that people are saying what they believe to be true, not what their bosses ordered them to say. And as somebody, Paul, I've been on Fox many times.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating how they try to control me. It's really interesting. I don't talk about it a lot. But they don't tell me what to say because they can't. I'm a liberal. I'm going to say what I want. But what they will do is they'll choose the topic in a way that makes it really hard for me to say what I want and stay on topic. And sometimes, like they bluntly told me in one of my last appearances, they said, you cannot talk about the Mueller investigation. It's not on topic. Or, you know, issues I want to talk about, talking about gun violence, talking about gay rights. I can't talk about those. What I can talk about is one of their topics was, you know, why was Obama's ratings down so low?
Right.
See, that gives me a little leeway, but not that much. And so, and then their hosts are very much in tune with the what they have to say. And so it becomes a whole culture where people who are otherwise reasonable people know they're going to lose their jobs if they don't toe the message line. One other example, I remember early on, I was on Megyn Kelly's show 42 times or so, just 2-3 times a week. And then I made a joke about Rush Limbaugh. I mentioned his OxyContin drug habit. Now, I thought Rush Limbaugh, who had far more media, still has far more media power than I do, could take care of himself. First of all, what I was saying was true. He pled guilty to it, so I think it's a pretty safe thing to say. And I was just a little offhand joke. But apparently, you can't joke about Rush Limbaugh on Fox News.
Well, can I point out one more thing?
Yeah.
Okay. So what Sinclair has done in purchasing television stations, individual broadcasters, they've done this. Did you know Sinclair owns every television station in the state of Ohio except for the Youngstown market? They picked off Ohio. They're working on Pennsylvania and Florida. Does that have a political pattern to it?
Yeah.
Three big swing states Sinclair is purchasing. Like I said, they own every station in the state of Ohio except in the Youngstown
And that
market.
Is exactly how Vladimir Putin
exactly.
took control in Russia.
Yep.
by cutting off a free press. And by doing it, in these swing markets, that's exactly their goal. And that's why we have to make clear exactly who they are, what they're doing. One of the things they're doing right now is they're trying to expand. They have an antitrust question before the Department of Justice on whether they can go from 40% of all the nation's markets to 70% of all the nation's markets. Now, under clear antitrust law, this certainly can't be allowed, but we have a Department of Justice and a president who wants fake news, who wants a propaganda government-controlled media system, who wants to be more like Vladimir Putin. And so it's only going to be up to us, the people, to continue to speak out on independent stations like this one, where we can do it. But one of the things I want to talk about after the break, and I really appreciate you calling in, Paul, is that it's much broader than just the media. If you look at the Russian oligarchs and you compare it to the American oligarchs, you can see that we are walking step by step by step toward tyranny, toward the Russian model. And we're being led there by Donald Trump and his toadies in the Republican Party. I'll talk more about that when I come back. 888-653-7543 or 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
Never confuse Mark Levin with right-winger Mark Levin. The second E stands for empathy, which the other Mark lacks. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levin.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin. As usual, just when we get going, I don't have much time left. I've only got a couple minutes left. So much more I want to say about Sinclair and about how we're becoming like Russia that I'm going to take more of this topic on Monday. So I hope you'll listen on Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. I do want to take a caller, Jolie, line 3 in Northern Virginia. That's my home base. Hey, Jolie, how are you?
Hi, how are you? I'm a first-time caller, so I'm a little nervous, and I'll make it quick.
Don't be nervous. It's just we don't have much time, but go ahead.
Okay. My first question is, what is it that I think that people can do in Florida with the Koch brothers using the Libra Institute to try to sway the Puerto Rican community's voting? That's one. And my second one was the interesting article by Thomas Etzel, the opinion piece in the New York Times about contract with authoritarianism, how U.S.
I glanced at that article in the break after I didn't have much, but he certainly sounds like he's right on point. I didn't have time to read it, but I do think we have creeping authoritarianism. That's part of the reason why I think that's really our threat from Russia. It's not the threat of nuclear missiles. It's the threat of this authoritarianism that's growing in America, and I'm very nervous about it. And I'm also nervous about the threat from oligarchs, and not just Russian oligarchs. I'm afraid of American oligarchs like the Koch brothers. This whole thing since Citizens United of $1 means one vote rather than one person means one vote. The idea that if you have more money, you're allowed to amplify your voice more, which is one of the reasons why we need a better Supreme Court to get rid of this nonsense. But all this means is that creepingly fewer and fewer people hold the levers of power. There are fewer independent voices. And as far as the Puerto Ricans going into Florida, look, I don't think it's going to work. And every Puerto Rican knows or should know exactly why their island hasn't been fixed, why they still have loss of power. If they've come to America, it's because they're in desperate shape. And if they're in desperate shape, it's because of our current president and the Republican-controlled Congress not giving a damn about them. So at the end of the day, the best way to fight authoritarianism is in your local communities. For Puerto Ricans in Florida, it's in their grassroots communities telling them the truth. It's all over Northern Virginia. We've got the resistance, whether it's indivisible groups. We are the antidote to authoritarianism. And it's only by joining together as grassroots, being unafraid to speak out, and by calling the truth for what it is that we manage to reclaim our democracy. Thank you, Jolie, for calling in. Sorry we didn't have more time. Feel free to call back Monday at 3.